Well, can you imagine a world without light? A world of total darkness? Well, I think for us it'd be a pretty horrifying experience, wouldn't it? After all, even on the darkest of nights, the sky is lit by the light of billions of stars. Total blackness, I think, would be a total catastrophe, a disaster for us. But such places do exist, you know. In 1986, when people first dived down to explore the wreck of the Titanic, they entered an utterly alien world of darkness. 2.5 miles down in the Atlantic Ocean, the ship lies in water so deep that sunlight never penetrates. The only light that they had down there was the lights that they took with them. Totally blind fish and crabs live down there. But for us humans, it is simply an utterly hostile and dangerous environment. Well, the Bible describes our world, the world we live in, like that. And the Apostle John, in the opening chapters of his gospel, talks of living in darkness. And he introduces Jesus as the light to illuminate that darkness. This is what he wrote in John chapter 1. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. And later in his ministry, as we heard in today's reading, Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world." Darkness and light, a wonderful contrast, and also a very interesting thing for us to explore this morning. In particular, I want to look at that incident where Jesus restored the sight of a blind man on the Sabbath day in Jerusalem. Now, this man was born blind. So his life up to that point had been lived in total darkness. Just think about that for a moment. Just close your eyes and hold them tight for a short while. Can you imagine walking out of here, finding your way home and getting on with today without being able to see? It's a bit frightening, isn't it, when you think about it? Well, without sight, we live in total darkness. And of course, there are lots of people in our world, in our community, who have either limited or very little vision. And that is the point John is making. Our world, without God, without Jesus, is like a world in total darkness. With Jesus, we have light, a light that will save the world. But John tells us, yet the darkness did not overcome it. He goes on to say, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Well, we heard that in the reading this morning, didn't we? Very, very bluntly. Right through those 3 years of his ministry on earth, Jesus found opposition to his teaching from the Jewish authorities. Jesus was a Jew himself and the Son of God. But as John said, his own people did not receive him. And that was just the situation when he healed that man who was born blind. Well, let's have a look at that, see what it teaches us. So, please have your Bibles open at John chapter 9, as you may find it helpful to follow. Well, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and before the chapter began, he just had a serious confrontation with the Jewish authorities. So serious, in fact, that they wanted to stone him to death there and then. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was a blasphemer, a man possessed by Satan, making claims to know God personally. In their minds, they, the authorities and the Pharisees, in their minds were simply defending the God they loved and respected. But does God need us to defend him? Well, in their zeal to keep their own perception of God, they were absolutely blinded to the reality that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. So when you think about it, John the Apostle, in putting this gospel together, has very cleverly followed that incident of spiritual blindness on the behalf of the authorities with the incident of Jesus healing the man born blind. Well, for this man, there really was no chance that he was faking being blind, nor could he and Jesus be accused of cooking up some sort of story for the authorities. This was a genuinely miraculous healing. The problem of spiritual blindness, of course, wasn't then and isn't still confined to just those Jewish authorities. Look at the attitude of Jesus' own disciples. And I quote from the first verse, or first couple of verses. As he, Jesus, was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind?" As far as the disciples were concerned, and this is just reflecting the Jewish teaching, the blind man deserved no pity because his blindness was caused either by his own sin or the sin of his parents. That's what the people believed. The blind man was paying the price for someone else's sin. Later on, after the man had his sight restored, the Jewish authorities had the same view. They said, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. But Jesus knew differently. His rather startling answer to the disciples was to state, "This came about so that God's work may be displayed in him." Perhaps that's a bit hard to grasp. Had this man been born blind from birth, so that many years later in his adulthood, Jesus could show the power of God's work in his life? Well, yes, through him, Jesus would work a great miracle. And through that miracle, God would be glorified. It was nothing at all to do with that man's sin or his parents' sin. Whatever sins he had committed, they would be forgiven by Jesus because this man had faith in him. The blind man didn't do anything to earn his healing. And there was nothing he could do to buy his sight. This was an act of absolute grace on Jesus' behalf, an unearned and undeserved gift of a loving God. And after his sight had been restored, the man praised God and defended Jesus' actions in the face of a very hostile and unbelieving group of Jewish leaders. And for his efforts, they threw him out. But his reaction to Jesus, what did he say? Look at verse 38. "I believe, Lord," he said. And he worshipped him. So this man, through the grace of God and through his own faith, was healed. Furthermore, the man wasn't just healed, he was saved. His place in heaven had been guaranteed by Jesus. And of the others, Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will not see." There it is, the clear division between those who can see and those who are blind. Mind you, Jesus is not talking here about physically blind. No, like the man who'd been born blind, he's talking about bringing light into a dark and evil world. Those who oppose him, and through him God the Father, are spiritually blind. What was it we heard before from John? The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. When men first explored the wreck of the Titanic down there on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean, they brought light with them. The first light that ship had seen for over 70 years, that light shone in a dark and dangerous world. In the same way, Jesus came into our world as a light shining into the impenetrable darkness. As John said, life was in him, and that life was the light of men. In the 3 short years that Jesus was engaged in his teaching and healing ministry on earth, that was like a short period of daylight in an otherwise nighttime of a darkened world. In Jesus' words, "We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Makes you wonder, doesn't it, how those poor disciples cope with that. They turned away in disgust from a blind man, assuming that Jesus would do the same. And now it was them who were being lectured. They were still struggling to understand just who Jesus was. Struggling to accept that Jesus really was the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And now he's telling them that there wasn't much daylight left, that night was approaching. In other words, before too long, he would be leaving them. How were they going to cope with all this? Perhaps Jesus' claim that "I am the light of the world" might have shed some light on their confusion. But now Jesus restored the sight of the blind man right before their eyes. Perhaps some glimmer of light was shining into their own lives. You can imagine them thinking, maybe, just maybe, Jesus was the Messiah after all. Well, while these poor men were struggling to understand just who Jesus was, the Pharisees and the Jewish officials had made up their minds. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, and I quote John, "This man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a sinful man perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. And again, "We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from." These people were so full of their own righteousness that they condemned Jesus out of hand because he didn't conform to their rules. He didn't fit their mold. He didn't behave the way they believed a Messiah should behave. In other words, they weren't even listening to him. Even worse, they were blinded by their own self-righteousness. And they couldn't recognize the Son of God standing there in front of them. They were spiritually blind. Aren't we a bit like that too? Aren't there times when we are so firmly convinced of our own righteousness that we won't even listen to a contrary point of view? That's what the people were like who were confronting Jesus. Even when the hard evidence was put in front of them, this man standing there, they couldn't see the truth. And after asking this poor man again how it had happened, they asked again, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He's a prophet," he said. The Jews did not believe this about him. He was blind and received sight until they summoned his parents. His parents assured the Jews that their son had been born blind. So a second time they summoned the man who had been born blind and told him, "Give glory to God, we know this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know is I was blind and now I can see." Pretty obvious, eh? How much more convincing would they need? It's an old saying, isn't there? There's none so blind as those who cannot see. Well, so how does this apply to us today? Are we still like blind people stumbling around in a darkened world? Well, yeah, I think we are in many ways. Our world of today is not really very different at all from the world of Jesus' time. People today reject Jesus just as they did a couple of thousand years ago. And our world is still a place of inequality. Huge wealth on one side, destitution on the other. There's still wars. There's still rumors of war. There's still so-called godly people who reject the truth of the miraculous birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And yet, in spite of that, there are millions of Christians around the world. The light of Jesus, the one who brings light and life to a darkened world, still shines out in the darkness when the good news of Jesus is proclaimed. Kathy and I follow and support that wonderful mission organization, Reach Beyond, who broadcast radio messages in an enormous variety of languages. And it goes from Kununurra, mainly around to Asia. And it's just amazing the figures that they show of the people who listen. And all the people on the ground who go out there to the people who are listening to these broadcasts. They talk about a language group which occupies this state of India or something, and there's about 75 million of them. And, oh, you know, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? Okay, This world may be a world of darkness and evil, but the light of Jesus is everywhere. Spiritual blindness may be all around us. I'm sure there's many, many people in our own community here living in darkness without the light of the world to illuminate their lives. But we're not blind. We have that light to guide our path, to show us the way. And really, it's up to us to carry that light, to hold it up high so that others may see it and come into the warmth of its glow. We are the witnesses in our community, along with other Christian people in this community. Jesus encourages us to hold that light up high, to shine it upon others. Not hide it away under our bed or in a cupboard. Jesus said that, in fact, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. It gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." The light, of course, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that through his death on the cross in our place, our sins can be forgiven. And we can inherit God's wonderful promise of eternal life in heaven with him. All we have to do is to turn back to him, ask his forgiveness for all of our past sins with certain knowledge that he will forgive us. It's up to us to bring that light into the darkness of the world around us. Just as those modern day explorers brought light into the darkness around the Titanic, so we bring the light of Jesus into our little part of this dark and troubled world. Let's not close our eyes to the reality of the gospel of Jesus, but let us all be shining ambassadors in our own place and our own time. Amen. With that word of encouragement, I will leave it.